is another episode of InterSoul Leadership, and we really are focused on supporting leaders, emerging leaders, those who have been veterans in the space of leadership for some time, because it can feel like you're all alone. Mm-hmm. It can feel like you're just out here flying solo. It can feel like no matter how much you are supporting your team, that it's still not enough, right? And so we come, and I have been inviting others to come share their journey around leadership, what they really pour into our communities, into our organizations, on how they support leaders and how they've been supported as leaders, what they would recommend. And I am so happy to have today Mr. Courtney Jackson from the city of Hartford, Connecticut. I've been here for 40 some years in Hartford, working and really participating in the greater Hartford area. And it is a area full of rich legacy. And I'm so happy that Mr. Jackson is a part of that legacy, building it up. And we're going to share with him today and have him share with us. We're talking about sustainable leadership. And that's important, especially when we are in an organization. What are we giving back to our communities? What kind of environments are we creating in the spaces even that we're in, so that the community wants to do business with us, right? And so Courtney is a native of City of Hartford. He's appointed the Promise Zone Director. We want to hear more about that. In his role, he manages efforts of the two federal initiatives and oversees a team of NHPZ AmerCorps Vista members. He has most recently served as a senior director of the programs at the Urban League of Greater Hartford. And we'll have his contact information if you're interested in reaching out to him. I'm going to make sure he shares with us what's coming up next for him so we can support him and his efforts as well. Welcome, Courtney.
Hello. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on and just being happy to be a part of this fruitful conversation.
Yeah, I love it when I have the opportunity to talk with people who are right in my sphere, mm-hmm. and be able to really promote what we're doing here in the greater Hartford area, because there's a lot of great stuff happening here and people need to know about it. People can't find you if we're not out there being visible. And so this is a great opportunity for you to help me represent the greater Hartford area. So Courtney, we're talking about sustainable leadership, and let's jump right into that conversation. What does it mean to be sustainable as a leader?
Yeah, definitely. So when I think about sustainable leadership, you know, it brings me way back to being in college, playing on the football team, because one of the things is really understanding your staff and the community around you. So I brought back sports, and I use a lot of sports analogies. But when I think about it, I remember, you know, number one, becoming a captain on a team and then needing to understand everyone on the team to be able to support them. And I realized some people were there. They didn't want to be there. They were there. Some people were there because their parents have them there. Some people love the sport. Some people wanted the glory of the sport. Some people wanted the team glory of the support, the glory of being a part of the team. And each of those individuals needed to be supported differently. You know, there were times when you had to say, come on, we really need you. But that wouldn't work for someone else. There were other times where you can look at that one person. You guys just connect eyes and you nod and you know you're going to get right to it. So when I reflect on that, and the amount of people that were on a team, they're coming from as far as Colorado and L.A. and up to New Hampshire, to Florida, middle state. So you're getting this mesh of people with all types of backgrounds. And then you realize that, again, you got to understand the people and what drives them, what gets them excited. And are they there for a reason or are they there for a season? So, you know, as a leader, you can't have this cookie cutter approach and say, you know what, this is what we're doing at our organization. And it reminds me of, you know, when we do things like icebreakers, there's people around that table that are having a great time and they need it. They feel the energy. They're moving forward. There's people at that table that are sitting there and they're counting the money. They're saying, we just spent X amount of thousands of dollars for this hour long or 30 minute conversation. That's an icebreaker, and it's not working for them. So us understanding what drives an individual, What are their passions? I think that's, you know, I don't want to say it's the first step, but it's one of huge steps that it takes to be a leader. And then I think that that brings us to the next step, which is, you know, what value add are you bringing to an individual? And, you know, back in the days, you know, it was easy as an employer to sort of bully staff a little bit and say, you know what, you won't be working here if you don't do this. Well, now there's so many opportunities out there, so many different ways to make money. Every day we're finding out there's a different avenue to make money. So there has to be value add for that individual. You know, we know what the value add is to our community, the work that we're doing, and we're passionate about it. But as an employee, what's in it for you? And it goes back to those things, which is, you know, is it for the glory? Is it for your passion? Is this just one step for you when you're looking to go three steps above? As a leader, you need to understand those things. And if you do, then you'll have the full support of your staff. And like I said, no cookie cutter approach, because each of those individuals have different needs, different desires. And I think, you know, like I said, that's a core piece in being a leader moving forward. You can't do the things we did in the past.
Yeah, that is so rich. Everything you just said is so rich, because people do have options today. One of the things coming out of the pandemic is people realize, hold up, I don't have to assume that what I did or what was said to me is truth. I can create my own truth. I can create my own path. I can even at least explore what my options are, right? And then if something happens to come up that is more advantageous or something, I can pursue that, right? So, and it's also at the same time can feel challenging and overwhelming for a leader who has now had to take on more responsibility because we had the great resignation. We have more people deciding, you know what, I have something else I can do, or I know I'm supposed to do, and it's not here. I'm not getting the opportunities here. So it's really advantageous, no matter how challenging it might feel to that leader, to do exactly what you're telling them to do. Get to know the people and understand how to relate to them from how they're coming to your space, right? Some people are going to come just for the paycheck. Some people are coming for the notoriety. Like you said, it's like, oh, this program is going to be recognized by so-and-so. And if my name's attached to it, then I'm going to get X, right? But if we can at least connect to them in that way, and make it a win-win environment, give them value so that they know that, okay, that might be your reason, but let's talk about what you can get while you're here and what you can contribute while you're here. And then you have a better relationship, exactly. Right?
And then the other piece is, you know, we have to let people do the work. You know, we want to bring people and make it a more inclusive environment, because nowadays we have this thing right here, this cell phone right here, and they have access to information. So you're going to find out if there's other opportunities. And then you're also going to have access to information to figure out some things that you might not know. So, you know, so being supportive as a leader, your job is to break down barriers, to allow people to do the work. You have to see yourself as you are providing a service to your employees, and they're just not working on your behalf. You have to look at, you know, a reciprocal relationship. So when you just change your mindset around being a leader, I think, you know, growing up, the leader was, I'm the boss, I'm in charge. And that's just not, that's not the world anymore. And it's actually not the most efficient way to do the work, because again, you know, I said that one piece, and I say that the second piece that I think all leaders should know, be smart enough to know that you don't know everything. And that once part, hits you, when you know that, if you're smart enough to know you don't know everything, then you know that there's value add in every staff member. And if you're able to, your job is to tap into their greatness, develop their greatness. And realistically, hopefully one of them will replace you one day. That means you did a good job. If you go in with that mindset, then, you know, people will do anything to support your cause and support you. And it just makes a more healthy relationship in the workplace.
Yeah, one of my books is called No Bosses Allowed, Lead to Serve and Transform. And it compares and contrasts in 12 different positions, a boss to a leader. And, you know, people like to say, oh, I'm boss lady, I'm bossing up. But people don't want bosses. Right. They want leaders. They really want leaders, because leaders allow people to grow. Leaders allow people to shine. They allow people to really exercise what their gifts are and really explore even more what they have inside them that they might not have known about. So we talk about senior leadership. We want to support CEOs. We want to support COOs. But we also have a heart for the emerging leaders. And tell me about this promise zone. And when we talk about sustainability, it's about how do we keep the legacy going, right? If I'm in an organization and I've created an organization, whether I'm an entrepreneur or not, it's got to last beyond me. So how do I make sure that I am having a constant flow and building up more leaders that can support my organization and can continue to go? And so if you could tell us more about Promise Zone and the NHPZ, AmeriCorps, and Vista members, and how that really feeds into this whole conversation about sustainable leadership.
So the North Harper Promise Zone is a designation we received during President Obama's administration. It's a bad thing and it's a good thing. The bad thing is it means that the North End of Hartford is doing bad in enough areas that we were able to be recognized as needing that level of support. The good thing is we received the designation, which basically puts energy and a mirror, a glass pointing into the North End of Hartford saying we need to address the issues in health, housing, education, public safety, jobs, and economic development. So how do we do that as a collaborative? And when I say collaborative, number one, it starts with the people in the community. And then you want to have, local, state, federal government at the table. And then all of our service providers and businesses sitting down to say, okay, here's the issue. How do we do it together? And I think a lot of times, when we do work, we're sitting in our offices. We're writing these grants and these, but we're doing it in silo, and it happens so much here in Hartford. We're a small area, so I can imagine in larger cities it happened in just as much, if not more so. But the idea of these passionate folks sitting there and again, you're writing these grants, you're developing these strategies because you want to help people, but not realizing right across the street there's someone doing something very similar, or there's a little bit of mission drift because you care so much. You might be looking to address financial literacy, but then you find out, oh, we can't get people licenses or we can't get them childcare. So you start to try to do childcare, which brings you out of what you naturally do. But there's an organization across the street that their focus is childcare. If we can get them all at the table together, to knock down each other's barriers and again, leverage existing resources. I think that's sort of step one, breaking down silos, leveraging existing resources. And then number two, if we find out there's a gap in services or there's a gap in the area that we need, okay, let's go out to get the money and figure out, number one, do we have the money? Do we have an organization that's willing to do it? Or if there's an organization that's doing it and let's fill it in. So that's the work of the North Harper Promise Zone in all of those areas. And I think, community and residents being a part of those conversations, not at the end when things are figured out, but starting from, the inception of the ideas around even what issues we want to deal with. Like I can sit down and say, we want to stop people from smoking tobacco. And I go in my community and they're like, we're not worried about tobacco right now. We're worried about fentanyl. We're worried about, getting our kids to school safe. If we start with what we really care about in the community, then we can start to get to answers and making sure that we all have a part in addressing our issues in our community. So that's the work of the Promise Zone, is to educate people and put them in positions to be a difference. And then also, like I said, leveraging existing. There's so many people in our community already that know the answers. We need to ask them. And put them in a space where they can communicate it. And not only that, but put them in a space where they feel comfortable, that they have the information necessary to have a real conversation. Because a lot of times we bring them in at the end and we ask them to answer questions, but they don't have the background of the information we've discussed for the past 8 weeks. They're just coming in and we're asking them in a 1 hour clip, absorb information and give us feedback. No, let's make them a part of the conversation from day one. So when we're thinking about the North Harbor Promise Zone, that's it in its core. And it's not prescriptive. It's not saying that if this is the issue, you have to go to this organization. It's saying, no, this is the issue. Here's a list of all of the organizations that provide programs and services and supports that can address them and let's connect you. So it's all about creating access. On the front end is access to individuals in our community, to programs, services, supports, information. On the back end is breaking down silos and putting organizations together. And as a part of that, we want to make sure we have people in positions who understand our community with lived experience, and they understand, you know, where we're coming from in our community. I'm a Hartford resident, you know, basically all my life. So I understand that angle, but I also know, you know, what I said a little bit earlier, smart enough to know that I don't know everything. The landscape is changing. So I can't talk about what was going on in the 80s and say this is what Hartford is. Hartford has continued to grow and change. And, you know, one of the most transient parts of the city is the north end of Hartford. So things are changing. And again, we got to be smart enough to know that we don't know everything, and let's get the right people at the table. I was going to say in doing so, the only piece I was going to add in doing so, let's get them in these positions to, you know, have an impact.
That's great. You're speaking my love language from a business perspective, which is collaboration. We cannot do anything, and we shouldn't want to do anything without collaboration, because we get the greater of the summation of our thought process as opposed to just what I bring to the table. So I'm always advocating for collaboration. Now, as you said and alluded to, it takes trust, right? So people, the greater the trust, the better, more collaboration. So I have a question for you. How, from a leadership perspective in this role, which is really going to serve our communities and our businesses, how are you bringing visibility to leaders of the corporations or other business owners so that they can take part in what you're doing and what's happening in greater Hartford?
Well, number one, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head, which is you're going to move at the speed of trust. And a lot of times we're actually in an era in a time now where people are really open to collaboration, which is really good for the work that I do and the work that we do. The bad part about it is, the tough part about it, I should say, is it's not built into your natural day of work. So you may have a plan to collaborate, have conversations, but if you miss that one meeting or that second meeting, now there's a gap of 3 to 4 months from that first conversation, and now you're back to the ground zero. So that's one of the difficult parts of doing the work. But part of what I do is, number one, I spend time creating a space for collaboration, an intentional space where we're thinking about the way we do the work a little bit differently. One of the activities we did at our last provider meeting was we had an organization stand up and say, here's the barrier towards my work. This is my pain point. And we had organizations sit in separate groups, and we said, if you were looking to collaborate, how can the work that you do help address this barrier here? So it changes our mindset from being that sort of inward looking organization. How can we do the work better? How can we do the work better? To wait a minute, there's an opportunity for partnership there, because we can, you know, address a specific barrier in that organization. And you may not think you are that organization. So if we're talking about chronic absenteeism, and you're an after school basketball program, you can help address it by saying you're not allowed to come if you didn't go to school that day. So naturally, you wouldn't think I am an organization that fits into that role, but you are when we really start thinking about collaboration and how we can connect. So just, you know, really pushing people to think outside the box around what partnership and collaboration looks like. And then also, you know, there has to be value add. When I think about partnership, value add to the individual and value add to the organization. So I'm always thinking, not only internally, so when we talked about building sustainable leadership, but also in partnership, the exact same thing. A lot of times we go in and we say, you know, this is what we need when we're developing a partnership, but what's the value add for that organization? And that also that individual, if you get to learn that individual a little bit, is that individual looking to say, I'm a champion of the work? Is that individual one who just wants it to get done? When you understand that, you can develop the more meaningful partnerships. And it can't be transactional. Like, the days of transactional partnership is over.
It has to be.
And especially because people are changing different positions. So if you don't build a true understanding of that organization and build meaningful relationships beyond just that one person, you're going to hit the restart button several times during the year. And that becomes frustrating. And you end up in meetings where you're hearing the idea and you're like, we talked about that 7 years ago. We want to stop those things from happening. So I think, again, that's the biggest piece when we're talking about.
And to be honest, people are really, when you're asking them, let's think about a different way we can mm-hmm. approach this situation. You're asking them really to be a little vulnerable, right? Because it's not the routine, as you mentioned before, thought process and running my business or running my organization. Now I've got to stretch intentionally, because it's not just going to happen automatically. And so you really do want to create that culture where people know it's safe to do so and it's worthwhile doing so, because someone is not going to continue to give them themselves and be vulnerable in a space that you have a conversation and say, hey, we talked about this seven times over the last 7 years and I'm not doing that anymore. It has to be valuable to them. Are you working with primarily nonprofits, for-profits, or a mixture of all the above?
I think a lot of the energy goes into areas where we see that there's a community interest in addressing that specific issue. That's where we start to really intentionally pull in partners. But in reality, you know, each month we have a monthly service provider meeting, and the idea is to bring in any and everyone to that meeting so we could sort of have this cross-sector conversation. In the past, I had the traditional health working group, housing working group, you know, and what was happening was everyone at the table had very similar issues. And in order to address them, I had to go to a different working group. So the idea was to say, you know what, let's put a cross-sector partnership together. And when we address an issue, we can all talk about one piece that we can affect. And it's changed the way we do the work dramatically, which is really exciting.
I'm sure you're out there talking with other people from other areas that are doing the same kind of work. I mean, what you're addressing here, I know, is a need across the globe, right? People in other countries need it and so forth. So if I'm hearing this for the first time about this effort in Greater Hartford or North End of Hartford, or even if I'm in another city, how would you help a leader of an organization, whether it's a ministry or a business or a community organization, find the right social or an environmental issue that they should champion as a part of their business? Because it is an extra thing, right? We wanted to just flow naturally with our business and everything, be transparent in our business and everything. However, we have to get there mentally in our mindset that I'm here in this community as a business that's providing a product or services for profit, or I'm providing services or ministries or whatever, but I need to also touch the people of my community beyond what I produce somehow. So how would you, as we start to wrap this conversation up, which I'm so glad you joined us, because this is so fruitful. And I think a lot of us who have been in our, I'm building my business, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, now know I need to really reach out beyond me and my organization and figure out how I can contribute. How do I find or start to even approach the right issue or the right thing that I should help champion?
When you first hear that question, your body naturally tells you and your mind tells you, what's my passion? What do I care about? You know, something I can really get into. But the real answer is to listen to your team, listen to your staff, and listen to the community at large, because you want buy-in for whatever you're pushing. Because again, the issue you're talking about, it might be 2 years old, and it might not be something that you know the community cares about or your staff community. So using those ears, really listening and having meaningful conversation, that's how you find out which area you should focus in, and resist that natural urge to, you know, go off of your experiences. Because again, I'm from Hartford myself. I've grown up here. There's things that I've seen, there's things that I experienced that I said that was great, and there's things that I said that was awful. So I can easily pick from those experiences and say, you know what, let's champion this. But does that mean that's what the community is looking for? No. So I have to continuously ask the question and figure that out. And I think if you go about it that way, you'll land in a space that makes the most sense, not only for the community, but you as a team. Because several things are, if you tell ask the community a question, what do we need? You're going to hear 6,000 things. You might hear that they want to learn how to ice fish. Who knows? But at the end of the day, you'll be able to say, within the context of the work that we do, here are a couple of things that we think we can address in a meaningful way. And I think that's the way you get to it.
Yeah, I love what you just touched on, is because the people who come into our organization, who are working with us and things like that, they bring everything that they're concerned about with them. Their family issues, their family highs, their family lows, their community highs, their community lows. So if I want to sustain my organization and make it a place where everybody's feeling engaged and empowered, I need to know what they care about. So we've made full circle, right, Courtney? We come back to the very beginning. I need to know my people, know what they care about, but not what just they care about in my workspace, but what they care about at home, what they care about in their communities. And then let's all agree on what we should champion, to your point, that aligns with what we're trying to do as an organization. This has been an awesome conversation. I'm so glad you said yes. I am glad you said yes, my brother. I am. I really am. Because I think it's going to open up people's minds and eyes to, I've got to be more than what I'm concerned about and what my organization, which is all valid. You've gone into a business because you know that there's a need. If you're going into a business and there's no need, then you're going to be out of business. Yeah. But if you're going into a business and you're meeting a need, great. Now let's talk about how you can also champion and come alongside, collaborate with those people who are in your workspace, what they care about. Because remember, they bring their whole self to work. And that means what they care about in their homes and as well as their communities. And we need to come alongside them as much as possible. We're not asking you to throw everything in it, but come alongside, because I think you would say, Courtney, every little bit helps. And that little leads to more as we get more compassion. So tell everybody what we should know about you and what efforts you have coming up now that you want to focus on and want some more collaboration, more visibility around. And then again, as I said, we'll have all your contact information in the show notes.
So right now, my main focus is, again, supporting the North Hartford Promise Zone, but also through an initiative, North Hartford Ascend Pipeline, where our goal is to create access within walking distance for anyone in the community to gain access to any program, service, support they might need. And then again, like I sort of said, that's the forward facing piece where you can, again, if you're thinking about jobs, if you're thinking about housing, if you're thinking about supporting, you know, elderly care for aging parents. The idea is that if we knock down all of the barriers in a home, then the kid can go to school and be their best self there, because they're not worried about those things, because it's supported by a Department of Education grant. But we want to change the situation around the kid versus trying to program out issues, which is, you know, we can't program out issues in our community. It's going to take us just leveraging all of our supports together to break down barriers for individuals. And then on the flip side, sort of behind the curtain, it's setting a stage and creating a culture of collaboration for organizations. Because we want to make sure that when we make one touch point with the individual, that they don't have to walk through 10 more doors to get all of the services that they need. If we're collaborating effectively, that means when you walk in for, you know, your jobs, somehow you get access to mental health and child care and your electric bill and all of that stuff by walking through that one door. And that's really the goal.
And those, when you walk through that door, that might not be the door that's providing exactly all those services, but they're connected to those who can get you there faster, as opposed to you trying to exactly figure it all out.
So it's access to for the individuals who need the help, but then it's also organizations who get access to the people in the community, because things have changed so much. There was a time where you could drop flyers in one place and guarantee that people are going to see it. But we don't congregate in one place anymore. There's so many different churches. There's not one place where everyone's working. And then we communicate differently, again, through this thing here. When you have your conversation in the interview, somebody tell me the secret sauce on how to get information to those people deep in our neighborhoods, because it's we could do the flyer and we could do, but we're missing them sometimes. So the idea is, how do we figure out the secret sauce with communication? And I know it's going to have something to do with this social media and these content influencers as well. But, you know, working towards trying to get the information to the people who need the information.
Excellent. And I'm hoping that somebody who's hearing this is going to have that answer for you, or a group of people are going to have that answer for you. And if you're thinking that you want to be that answer, think about it and then connect with Courtney and what he's doing. This has been an episode around sustainable leadership, and we cannot keep our organizations going if we don't care about the communities in which we're serving. And so let's us all take a deep look at how we can play a part. Whether you're in the Hartford area or in Philadelphia or in Taiwan, find a way to serve the communities that are represented by the people in your organization. And you will have people being more engaged in your organization. Thank you, Courtney, for joining us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you on the next episode of IntraSoul Leadership.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.